Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Yesterday we came down in Genesis chapter 2 to verse 7, which reads, "Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." And we talked about this verse in light of Genesis 1 verse 27, which reads, "God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them." And we talked about these as not two separate creations, but one creation from two different angles. In Genesis 1, we have the big picture perspective on the creation of man. And in Genesis 2, we have the small picture perspective of the creation of man, the detail, if you will. Yesterday, we discussed the big picture and now the small picture. Understanding this verse, which is crucial to the focus of our series, is best done if you have the verse in front of you. Now is best, but let's say you are driving and cannot be distracted. No worries. Read Genesis 2 verse 7 sometime today or tonight and snap a mental picture of how the verse is laid out. It comes to us in three main parts. Part 1, the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground. Part 2, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And part 3, and man became a living being. Let me repeat this, then we'll discover what each part means. If you take notes, jot these down. Part 1, the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground. Part 2, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And part 3, and man became a living being. Genesis 2 verse 7 is a verse in three parts. That being said, naturally, everything in the verse relates to everything else in the verse. So in teaching this, I do want to take us through the verse part by part. However, sometimes we will need to take a part of a part to make a whole. What? Suddenly my approach sounds scientific. Well, hold on now and stick with me. Let me just show you what I mean. Let's take one word from part one and another word from part two, put them together and see what we get. The word in part one we'll take is formed, and the word in part two we'll take is breathed, formed and breathed. The Hebrew word, translated in English as formed, means to form or to fashion, as a potter would form or fashion his or her clay. In fact, interestingly, the same word for formed in Genesis 2:7 is the word translated potter in Jeremiah chapter 18. Not for long, no rabbit hole, but just for a moment, let me read to you a famous passage from Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. When I read the word potter, that is this same word formed in Genesis 2. I'm reading now in the Old Testament book of Jeremiah at chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, 'Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will announce my words to you.' Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something on the wheel. But the vessel that he was making of clay was spoiled in the hand of the potter. So he remade it into another vessel, as it pleased the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Can I not, O house of Israel, deal with you as this potter does?' declares the Lord. Behold, the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." I think the mental picture God gives us of how he forms Israel, as a potter does the clay, is very helpful when we go back to our text, Genesis 2:7, and the creation of man. Imagine that potter on the wheel, molding the wet clay just the way he wants it. This is the way God formed the first man. God uses his perfect skill and paying careful attention, he forms man. In Genesis, God forms man, and in Jeremiah, God forms a nation. He forms both as a potter will the clay. I cannot help but to also read to you Psalm chapter 139, verses 14 through 16. The psalmist David writes about the tender potter's care that God gives to our creation. Psalm 139, I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. Psalm 139, verses 14 through 16. And here again we learn that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. God is the potter and we are the clay. And in Genesis, God reveals himself as the potter who formed the clay, Adam. Well, that's all I have time to say about our first word, formed. The second word we take is from part 2 of Genesis 2:7, and this is the word breathed. The text says God breathed. And I want to say more about this part of verse 7, but today I'm just borrowing the word breathed to make a point to you about God. And here I am picking up on the work of Bible commentator Derek Kidner in his handy commentary on Genesis. I want to give you this Kidner quotation twice so it sinks in and then draw upon the insight he gives us. As I said last time, anytime you want a quotation I use, just write to me and ask for it. Kidner writes, "Breathed is warmly personal, with the face-to-face intimacy of a kiss and the significance that this was an act of giving as well as making, and self-giving at that." Derek Kidner is writing about what God does by breathing life into man, and again he says, "Breathed is warmly personal, with the face-to-face intimacy of a kiss and the significance that this was an act of giving as well as making, and self-giving at that." The point he makes is that God is giving of himself to Adam. Along these lines, he makes reference to what Jesus says to and does for the disciples in John's Gospel, chapter 20, and verses 21 and 22. I'll read that for you. John 20, 21 and 22. "So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.' And when Jesus had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" Kidner states, "Jesus bestows the Holy Spirit as the animating breath of the new creation, the church. Even at our making, then, the pattern God so loved that he gave is already visible." End quote. I find this insight stimulating. When God breathes into the first man life, God gave. This was an act of giving as well as making. God is self-giving. God gives of himself to man. We know John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." And we can also apply the "God so loved that he gave" to Genesis 2, verse 7, and the making of man. Where does the breath man requires to live come from? The breath comes from God. Okay, today we set out to take one word from part 1 and another word from part 2 of Genesis 2:7. Put those two words together and see what we get. So when we put together formed and breathed, what do we get? I think we get this. God uses his tender, loving care to make man. And of course, this applies to the making of woman as well, which we will come to. That is the phrase that kept standing out in my mind when I thought about this verse. Tender, loving care. God has this, and he uses it to create man. God carefully, attentively forms, fashions, molds the man. Using his perfect skill, God makes the man just the way God wants him. Then God breathes into the man life. God gives of himself to the man. Out of his perfect love, God gives the man breath. What else is this if it is not the tender, loving care of God? This is why it is important to pay close attention to the smaller, detailed portion of the big picture. If we just read Genesis 1:27 casually, God created man in his own image, in the image of God he created him, male and female he created them, that can make God seem detached from the person. God as a scientist in his lab, and as he works, out pops man and woman. But when we focus down on the detail in Genesis 2:7, like we started to do today, we find the deeply personal and intimate, tender, loving care of God. What we really find is that what really interests God in all of his creation is man, woman, the human, the person. We are the pinnacle of God's creation. Remember the question at the opening of this series. I borrowed it from Psalm chapter 8 and verse 4. What is man? Well, here is part of our answer. Man is the creation of God, and God uses his tenderness towards us to make us with great care. God has set his mind, his heart, his eyes, and his hands on us. He made us, and we are his. God uses his tender, loving care to make man. Well, this is where we begin in verse 7, and I hope that you will continue with us in this series. And join me tomorrow. We're going to continue to discover who we are and who God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.